The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. A few years ago, Snickers began an ad campaign reminding us all that you're not you when you're hungry. These ads showed that when someone was hungry, they took on an alternate personality. There was that infamous ad that debuted during the Super Bowl a few years ago, where a football player is accused of playing like Betty White, and as we can see, it is Betty White. Betty grabs a Snickers, and after she eats it, she is transformed back into her regular football-playing self. The punchline of the ad? Snickers satisfies. Over the years, there has become a parade of celebrities, and it has evolved even into print ads furthering this message of Snickers. In fact, one person reflecting on the success of this campaign wrote, "Snickers has so much equity in the area of hunger satisfaction that you get endless material out of it." But does Snickers really give satisfaction to hunger? Sure, it's food, it raises your blood sugar, and you might even be able to justify some protein intake from all of those peanuts on top. But it really just makes you not hungry. Because actually, satisfying hunger through a candy bar seems a little difficult. But we all know that there are more than a few things in life that promise to fulfill us, but can end up leaving us just as empty. It was often that the Israelites encountered in their newfound freedom from the Egyptians, and unfortunately for them, there were no candy bars there. And so they were hungry, and they were a little cranky as well. In fact, you know, there's a word for this. It's called being hangry, when you're so hungry that it makes you a little angry and irritable. I'm sure no one has ever experienced that here. But to echo Snickers' point, they weren't themselves when they were hungry. They cried out to God for food, for something to sustain them. Anything would have been better than this plight of hunger, they say. Even death at the hands of the Egyptians would have been better than all of this, they say. Somehow they didn't think that God who delivered them would also sustain them. that God would give them more than just a way to end their hunger, that God would bring them full and total satisfaction. But we all might think that it was just the hunger that was talking here. In fact, the same thing plays out in the gospel today, where hunger is what directs the actions of a very large and persistent crowd and motivates them towards understanding this satisfaction that Jesus is offering. They realize that he has something they need, even if they can't name it for themselves yet. Last week, we heard of John's version of Jesus' impromptu lunch for 5,000 or so guests, where he started with just 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed them all with plenty of leftover. And this week, we hear that after that meal had ended, the crowd seek out Jesus relentlessly. And for the rest of this chapter in John's gospel, what we'll hear over the next 3 weeks is this conversation between the crowds and Jesus about how all of this can be, how it is that Jesus can bring this satisfaction to an unknown hunger that they have. But it starts with what actually seems like Jesus frustrated with the crowd. They are not after him because they see signs, but only because he fed them. It's not because they realize that he has something different to offer them. After all, they think they understand miraculous feedings. They remember the stories told about their ancestors wandering in the wilderness and eating the manna that rained down from above. And so it is that the crowd struggles to understand all that Jesus is trying to tell them, both about the meal they had and the bread that he promises. And sometimes this is hard for us too, but because we know the end of the story. For these crowds, though, this is all just the beginning. Jesus knew that they weren't themselves because they were hungry, but not hungry for the type of food that perishes, not hungry for more bread and fish. They had definitely had their fill, but hungry for the bread of life that Jesus offers, for the bread of life that Jesus is. Jesus needed people to see that God was up to something new here, that the meal of their ancestors in the wilderness was good, that the lunch of unending loaves and fishes for an entire crowd was great, but that the God of life was up to something even better in all of this. And it's something that we need to remember too. Because if we look around the world, we can too easily see people who are starving, people who are hungry for answers when teenagers go missing, people who are hungry for justice when animals are killed for sport, people who are hungry for peace and hope and reconciliation, and people who are hungry for food too, because of the politics of inequality that continue to govern lives all over the world. During my first trip to Central America while I was in college, I learned this prayer. O God, to those who have hunger, give bread. And to us who have bread, give the hunger for justice. Jesus knows that people are hungry for something more than just food, because the things of this world will make us hungry for the bread of life that only he can offer. We continue to pray fervently, give us this day our daily bread, in a prayer where we just as fervently pray for the reality of God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, where we are filled with the bread of life forever. And so here today, we continue to be invited to this table where we bring our hunger to a feast of satisfaction, knowing that real hunger is not fed with just grain, but with the real promises of God. Amen.